Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right. Well, hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Today, I am pumped. I'm blessed to have one of my best friends, Coach Robert Gonzalez, a.k.a. Gonzo, on here with me. Gonzo is a legendary coach in the state of Kansas. He has won pretty much every coaching award you can think of. I mean, league coach, regional coach, state coach, national coach, soon to be a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, everything you can think of, has spent years and years pouring into the sport, building the sport. Has been a great mentor for me. And so Gonzo, man, thank you for being on.
Thank you, Chad Parks. I think you're very kind. I probably have learned more from you than you know. And, you know, it's interesting, a small town Western Kansas boy and a small town Pawhuska, Osage native, can hook up and have the same values.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, and here in a little bit, we'll kind of get to our origin story, how we met and all that. let's do this. So for those who are listening, you know, thankfully we have a lot of, you know, listeners all around the nation. And I think I told you a little bit ahead of time. I mean, we got wrestling people, football, businessmen, a lot of people of faith, a lot of Christians listening to this. So, but let's just go back. Like, tell me where you grew up at, kind of how you got into sports, man. Your beginnings of all this.
Well, I think my first experience in grade school growing up in Garden City, Kansas, the community was pretty good basketball community. Of course, basketball is big in the state of Kansas with all the universities. But at that time, we had in our community a couple of people that their last name was Roderick, and they were kin to the Rodericks in Oklahoma, especially Oklahoma State in the Stillwater area. And so they had asked around USA Wrestling, which is now a big global overseer of youth wrestling K through 12. At that time was called USA Wrestling Federation. And they sent a young man, Bobby Wilson from Ponca City, Oklahoma. They had sent him to Garden City, and he was going to start a grassroots organization of K through 12 wrestling. And back then they had these old horse mats. I remember those old rubberized horse mats. And, you know, everybody that couldn't play basketball was kind of pushed to go out for wrestling. And so I inched my way over there, and I was not very aggressive, but we loved Coach Bobby. I mean, he was phenomenal, and he was very patient with all kinds of kids. And we grew that program in 1966. And then our superintendent, Dr. John Dickerson, he hired Lee Albert to come to Garden City High School. Lee Albert was a Wichita North graduate, wrestled at Fort Hays State. And he also hired Daryl Nelson, and Daryl Nelson's father-in-law was Bryce Roderick, and his uncle was Myron Roderick. And so now all of a sudden we have an Oklahoma State flavor, you know, if you're familiar with Ponca City and that area and that region of wrestling and maybe Oklahoma State area and the Tulsa greater area. Those folks came in and everybody was wrestling. And it wasn't before long at our first state tournament, 1969, that we had a couple of young men place. I think I was in seventh grade at that time. And then in 1971, we had a breakthrough year, and the classification system was 4A, 3A, and then 2-1A were combined. And Coach Lee put four guys in the finals, and we just needed one guy to win, and we ended up winning a state championship in 1971. And that's pretty much the love of the sport. You know, Coach Bobby, you know, from Ponca, I'm sure he was legendary in his area. Of course, I got to meet Myron Roderick. He came to Garden City several times. In fact, years later, he got me to start in 2000, 2001, what we call the National Wrestling Hall of Fame chapter here in Kansas. That's based out of Stillwater, and Leroy Smith is now the president and overseer of that particular organization. But I became an OSU fan, never been to Stillwater, but, you know, loved it, loved everything about it, and just end up loving the sport.
Yeah, and, you know, Garden City is a – they're still a powerhouse, right? So it's – like, when I think Garden City, I think wrestling, for me personally, yeah. You know, when I think about Garden City. So came from this incredible wrestling background and, you know, talking about, yeah, anyone in Myron Roderick's family, I mean, in Oklahoma, you know, legendary. Oklahoma State wrestling is phenomenal. I mean, it's long been one of the best in the nation. So, all right, so that kind of got your love of wrestling going. Then I know that, you know, you were able to play college football, wrestle a little bit, and then you got out and you started coaching. So, but tell me real quick though, about, maybe being a college athlete for you.
Well, I was at Garden City Community College, and, we had a lot of success there in football and wrestling. We had John Leitner from our local high school go to OSU at Stillwater and actually wrestle. And, It was just one of those things. Dean Biggs came from Central Oklahoma State in Edmond, which is a UCO, is just a tremendous power. Yeah. And so those fellows were out at junior college. They'd work out with the high school guys. And so I decided I really wasn't big enough. I went to the Big Eight tournament in Manhattan in 1971 and saw Iowa State and Dan Gable and you know, all those great athletes. And I realized quickly I wasn't ever going to be of that caliber. And so I attended our local junior college, met my wife of 47 years. We were, she was on the basketball team and football was over and I was on the wrestling team. We were out in the junior college gym there getting a drink of water. And I tell people all the time, I go, man, that girl started chasing me. And you know, Brenda, so it was just the opposite. But we end up dating, and then at the end of the year, we decided, okay, let's get married, and she'll help me finish my degree. And then she's a nurse, so she's going to finish her degree. And so we quickly after that we went to Fort Hays State University, and I played football. And then '74, we're out at Southern Colorado, blew my knee out. And it just so happened that next week after the season, Coach Barry Allen, our wrestling coach, he had one heavyweight on the team. And it was me. And I blew my knee out. So that kind of eliminated my opportunities to make the team without having to try out. I tell kids all the time. But I quickly got on the graduate assistant program and work study program. If you remember work study back in those days. And I was gravitating toward anything to coach. I even coached an intramural team through Fort Hays State track and field. And couldn't wait till I got out of school. And then we came to Garden City and I taught a couple years. And then we were at the Kids State Tournament, a youth Federation tournament at Gross Memorial Coliseum in Hays. And it was in 1976. And Ken Coover, who was the head wrestling coach at Topeka High at the time, bumped into me and he said, hey, he said, they're looking for wrestling coaches in Topeka and Eastern Kansas, and you need to put your hat in. Well, I was pretty happy just to be the junior high coach at Garden City and help with the high school and coach grade school team. In fact, Myron Elligood, who's a famous wrestler, came out of Fort Hays, was on my first year. I was in the 6 years and under team. So I had no reason to want to leave, but I went ahead and filled out the necessary paperwork. Next thing I know, Highland Park is offering a position. Chad, I should have taken the Highland Park position. I would have had the opportunity to work with a guy named Melvin Douglas.
Yeah.
Or he could have worked with me. As it was, I went to Topeka West, loved it. I loved every facet of coaching football, wrestling, track and field. It was just a blast. And that's how I got into high school and coaching.
Yeah. So, you know, and you mentioned Fort Hays a couple of times. So, you know, you're a Fort Hays grad. I'm a Fort Hays grad. Your son Tyler is a Fort Hays grad. So we got that Fort Hays connection. And of course, you were at Topeka West and, you know, you ended up at Shawnee Heights, where I'm a coach now, and you coached there for how many years were you at Shawnee Heights?
I was at Shawnee Heights 19 years.
19 years. Okay. I was missing by around 20. So,
yeah.
And, you know, when I very first met you, I'll let you tell the story on the highway of how I first met. Because you knew my wife way before you ever knew me.
Well, you know, in our business of high school coaching and grade school coaching and middle school and working with college coaches wherever we're at, you're built on relationships. And so Lori Meisner Parks was a seventh grader in my seventh grade class. And her dad was on our board of education there at Tecumseh. And Mrs. Meisner was the number one volunteer in our school district. Whatever teachers needed, she was right there. And so as we grow along, you know, Lori goes seventh, eighth grade, goes up to ninth grade. She's a pretty good athlete. I mean, I'm not going to say she could whip you, Chad, but she's a pretty good athlete.
Yes,
and yes. And she's a real good softball player. Anything she could do, she was pretty good at. And then she went off to Fort Hays State and play softball. And I remember she came back a couple of times and she'd stop at the middle school there where you and I've worked. And she'd say, "Coach, I met a wrestler." And I was like, "Oh gosh, you know, I'm meeting wrestlers." Those, no, no. And she would talk about you all the time. And I was like, I don't know about this Chad Parks guy. I was like, "Can he make the team? Can he win a match?" You know, and I'd tease her about that. And Lord and behold, we're on the Oklahoma Turnpike, and I'm taking Tyler and Blake Malloy, who you worked with, and both are state champion kids. And we're on our way to John Smith's summer camp down in Stillwater. And I dropped them off on my way back. And you guys were coming out of somewhere in Tulsa, I believe. Maybe you're coming home from your parents' home. And so I look over and I see this Fort Hays State Tiger tag in the window, and I look over and I see Lori, and then I said, "Who's that guy?" Like, "Who's that guy?" And so I wave at her, and then she's frantically waving. And so we pull over there on the Oklahoma Turnpike. It's like six lanes going both ways. And so we kind of pull way over, and she goes, Coach, this is the young man. This is Chad. I've been wanting you to meet." And I look, "Hello." And I tried to be real serious and be like a dad. I mean, you have daughters now. Like,
yeah.
"Hello, how are you?" And so Lori said, "Chad's getting ready to graduate. He wants a coach." I go, "Really?" And I said, "Oh, well, how are you, son?" And extended my hand. And then after, you know, a few brief moments, I asked what your major was and what you were looking for. And then I offered you to come and student teach at Tecumseh Shawnee Heights. And I said, "I'll make a phone call on Monday." I think it was a Sunday we were driving.
Yeah.
And I think I remember, I know old age has probably affected me somewhere, but I think that was the gist of it right there, Chad.
Yeah. So, and it's crazy because, man, you just never know how God's going to work, right? So you and I didn't know each other at all. And then that was like our first actual meeting. And, you know, fast forward a little bit, I get to come and student teach for you in the classroom and then be an assistant for you and work with some phenomenal wrestlers, right? Tanner,
yeah.
Garber, your son, Tyler, yeah. Blake Malloy, like you said, you know, and then I go and coach at another school. You're still at Shawnee Heights. And then I still remember the day you called me and you said, "Hey, get your resume ready." And I was like, "For what?" Said, "Well, nobody knows yet, but I'm leaving to go to Manhattan, Kansas. And I want you to come take over at Shawnee Heights." And anyway, I got that job. You got the Manhattan job. But, you know, all along the way, you've been a mentor to me and, you know, come over and see my family and read books to the kids and all that. And I always tell people, I'm like, all right, I became this coach and I'm in my early 20s, and Gonzo got me connected with like every organization in wrestling history. Next thing I know, I'm on the board of like six organizations, and I've got all time from meetings, and Lori's like, what's this for? I'm like, I don't know. Gonzo got me on this board, you know, but really like allowed me to see all these other areas in the wrestling world that coaches can be involved in that I didn't know. Whenever you're an athlete, you just think about being an athlete, right? But when you're a coach, right. Yeah. You're more than a coach. I mean, you do all the coaching things, but you're also a CEO of your program.
Right.
You're also trying to grow the sport for your state. And you have been one of the absolute best for that. So for me, when I look, and there's been times that, you know, I'm thankful I have you and my dad and Coach Thompson and people I can call and say, hey, here's a situation. Can I get your advice on it? And you guys give me great advice. But really looking at your programs, at Shawnee Heights, and then what you've done in Manhattan, I get to see how a head coach is a CEO and runs all these different areas of the program. So connecting with the community, connecting with your administration, building relationships with the parents and with the athletes. I mean, you are just probably one of the best I've ever met in those areas. So tell me a little bit about that, man. Like, what are some of the pillars for your programs whenever you come in and build programs? Because I want other coaches to hear these things.
Well, for me, I have that passion that I developed at a real young age, and I wanted everybody else to have that passion and love wrestling as much as I did. And so what I had to do, especially when I came here to Topeka, in Western Kansas, it's a hotbed of wrestling. And so I came here, and so I was a young assistant at Topeka West, and there were some good coaches here in the city, but I wanted to start a program for our postgraduates. So Don Vest, who was a counselor professor out at Washburn University, and I, we said, let's offer a collegiate style wrestling club. That's how we're going to keep the kids in town. That's how we're going to interest them, because Washburn did not have wrestling. And Don and I wanted to do something. So Hayden High School offered the use of their gym and their mats. And we offered two nights a week a wrestling club. We recruited, I still think of some of those young men, Grayling Mack from Highland Park, post high school grad. And we reached out to so many kids from Rossville and Silver Lake, Santa Fe Trail, and they'd come in and practice. And we competed collegiately on the mat as a club against Fort Hays State University, against Coach Thompson at Labette. And they came in, now they pummeled us, and it was like, you know, 42-0. But we actually wrestled those duels down at the YMCA, which is downtown Topeka. And we didn't charge anybody. We just said, hey, let's come. And so we had to start and create interest. Local newspaper was Topeka Capital Journal. We got the writer to come down. WIBW back then, Ron Paradis came out with his TV crew. And so I said, okay, we've got the collegiate thing going. We have the Washburn University Wrestling Club. And okay, there's one youth club here in town that serves all the city high schools, all the county high schools. It was called the Tornado Wrestling Club. And, you know, it was held at Topeka High. And if you lived out in the suburban area of Shawnee Heights or Washburn Rural, or Seaman, or you lived in Washburn Rural, if you lived in Silver Lake, you would have to drive to get there by 6, and then, you know, parking was minimal downtown there by Topeka High School. And so about that time, I decided in 1986 to start the youth wrestling club called the T-Bird Wrestling Club. And I just wanted an opportunity for our kids to get better, and that we didn't have to drive all the way into town. And it would be a burden on a lot of parents at work. And so we just opened up our mat room. We also opened up our mat room to the Shawnee County Sheriff's Department to come in and practice self-defense classes, teach self-defense classes to young ladies, young women, women of all ages. And I still remember this day, Mr. Swert, you know, conducting those self-defense classes two nights a week. We had, you know, our mat room, I wanted to be utilized. And so we had the self-defense, we had the grade schoolers. I remember I took a flyer to the four grade schools and said, bring them and come in. And I remember one mom, her mom was Rita Malloy. And she said, do you want help? Because I was writing the kid's name down and I was telling, you know, about 20 little grade schoolers, okay, go over here and just run in a circle and I'll be right with you. And you're a parent, so you know juggling, you know, two or three kids at a time can be difficult. And so she says, do you mind if I do that for you? And I was like, here. So I went and grabbed my whistle. And then Blake's dad was there and Roy said, well, I'll help. And so he didn't know anything about wrestling. So we taught Mr. Malloy, we taught Mrs. Malloy. And then next thing I know, we taught Mr. Walker and Mrs. Walker, and we taught Mr. and Mrs. Lorimer. And pretty soon before we knew it, everybody was directly involved and the organization was growing. And so we didn't have to run back into town. My friends up in North Topeka, the Junior Vikings started a summer thing. The folks over at Washburn Roll back at that time, I think it was called Blue Thunder, and Coach Smith over at York College, a good friend of your guys's, mm-hmm. a good friend of your program, Coach Smith, referee, he started, Greg, he started that. And so we had youth clubs going. Pretty soon Mission Valley called and wanted to know how they could do something. And it all goes back, Chad. That was the pillar, building it and doing it right. And then the other thing is, I think you witness this, you can teach kids at all kinds of levels and they'll be very positive and work hard for you. But my thing was, and I think I learned this from your dad when I visited with him several times about Oklahoma wrestling versus Kansas wrestling when I went to his tournament, and your dad reminded me not to burn kids out. Yeah. Do not burn kids out of the sport. They got to love the sport. And so we kind of had a rule there at the T-Bird Club. We would just wrestle, Chad, what we called novice, you know, beginner. And then if you wanted to be a real student of sport, then you could go and a couple of the dads could go to what we call other experienced clubs and go to other places. Like over in Kansas City, there was East Kansas that had, you know, former Olympic level guys, former D1 level guys running those. And you pay a little bit more money, which is okay. But if you wanted to do that, that was fine. And we had no issue with that. But I still remember this day, and I still have a ceremonial blanket that your father gave me when we took the Shawnee Heights team and we went down to wrestle in your dad's tournament in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. And he provided me with the ceremonial blanket. It's on my bed right now if I go pull it out for you. And I think fondly of all, and that was like, gosh, 2003, maybe we went to Pawhuska, and your dad and I had long talks and we sat there and he wanted to know, you know, what I did in Kansas to achieve some success. And I said, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to emulate all the things that Coach Roderick would talk to me about. Myron would talk to me about the Rodericks in Garden City. And your dad was very instrumental in encouraging me that, you could be really, really tough on your own children, but you wanted to more than anything have them love the sport.
Yeah.
And so about that time in 2003, I became involved with National Wrestling Hall of Fame, you know, built that program from grassroots. Kansas Coaches Association never had a wrestling coach on their staff. So I called them and said, hey, we need to have some voice in this. And I felt administratively we needed people like myself to speak up for wrestling. And I don't think it was, we were not following rules or guidelines or things like that. It was that we needed to tell people that Kansas wrestling is for kids. Not every kid can wrestle, but Kansas wrestling is for kids. Just like the love of, let's say, Kansas basketball, K-State basketball, Wichita State basketball. So kind of those pillars and you got to have strong leadership. I'll close with this on this topic. I wanted to be a clearinghouse of information. If any coach, grade school, youth federation, high school, collegiate, if any coach wanted to call me, I wanted to be that clearinghouse of information and give them a place to go find the answer. And if I couldn't find the answer, I got the answer for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you absolutely are. The amount of wrestling knowledge that you have in every area, historically in Kansas and the nationwide, is it's unreal. But Okay, so we know that there's all kinds of cool values, all kinds of great life lessons that we take from the sport of wrestling, and you know, we can implement them later on in life. So on the job, with our families, in these various areas, what are a few of the things that whenever you've coached your teams, what are a few of the things that you try to teach them as far as maybe, you know, maybe it's work ethic, you know, maybe because your work ethic is off the charts. People that don't know Gonzo, like you work 27 hours a day. I tell Gonzo sometimes all the things I'm doing and he tells me what he's doing. I said, like, I go do pushups after work. So I'm like, dang, I'm not working hard enough. But so what are some of those values that you try to instill in your athletes?
Well, I appreciate that. Well, number one, you and I probably know the rule book. You know, we know our rule book. It's right here on this table. And so if we're going to value wrestling, then we're going to be role models of the rule book. And so number one, you got to teach respect and respect to the sport. And so I have three simple rules. And when you probably first met me, I probably had 20 and I couldn't remember half of them. So as time has gone along, I've reduced it down to three. And that is have respect for the sport, respect. And when I say respect for the sport, gee, I chastised several times in my career, our own team and fans. We're losing and we're not winning. And then all of a sudden the boo birds come out and I look at our crowd and I stop and I turn around. And I go, stop. We're not going to do that. We're not going to boo an official. Okay. We're not going to boo a call or we're not going to boo an opponent. We're not going to belittle somebody. So I really think number one, respect the sport. Number two, this one's so true to this day. And I use it in my classroom and I use these three values in my classroom. Respect the sport, respect, and in my classroom it'd be respect the subject. Number two is be on time. You gotta be on time for everything. Be on time for that job interview. Be on time for if the practice is supposed to start at 3:00, be on time. You know, don't knock on the door 10 minutes later and say, oh, I kind of, you know, I was walking my girlfriend out to her car and lost track of time. No, be on time practice. And, you know, all kinds of things relate back to be on time. You know, we're going to respect our sport, Chad. We're going to teach the values, the rules of our sport. Number two, we're going to be on time. And number three, more than anything, we're going to respect our family. I mean, you have developed a culture at Shawnee Heights that is unique to your program when you developed our motto, when you developed, this is our motto, and then this is our prayer. And you have gone further than what I had envisioned. And you have a creed. And so your creed is the third step or the third level. And so your kids know that when you are called up, they're doing the creed. Well, my kids know that we're going to follow a certain code of ethic. We're going to come together. What's going to be our call? We're going to respect. We're going to follow the rule. We're going to teach everybody respect. We're not going to do anything to tarnish our image. And then finally, I'm going to say, if Chad Parks is a better athlete than I am, if Chad Parks' kids are in better condition than I am, and if Chad Parks' kids are training hard, then how do I compete against Chad Parks? Well, here's what I tell our kids. We're going to do a four-letter word. It's the simplest four-letter word in the world. We're going to work, and we're going to go, and we're going to outwork them in all three aspects of that game. And there are so many young coaches that have more talent, more knowledge, more technique. You know, I'm working this past year with our staff because Tyler Gonzalez, a new young coach in our state, beat us a year ago. And I'm like, whoa, that ain't going to happen again. I mean, you know, we survived beating you a year ago by a point. And then this year you beat us. And I was like, okay, all right. How did Chad Parks' team beat us this year? And they beat us on our home gym. So what are we going to do? And what is our program? And what is Sean and Dan and Dayton going to do to get that message? Okay. So, all right. If you're in the off-season conditioning program, you mentioned lifting. We're lifting. Now, those guys are lifting because all we have to do is say, hey, we lost at home. Shawnee Heights came into our house and beat and our brand new gym on, and we christened our room with a loss. So we want to take those values, and it's real simple sport. It's a real simple sport. You know, we try not to make it real hard, but I don't want to ever take away from what other people do or ever say anything bad about other programs. I just tell our kids, they beat us. We're going to go out working. Let's go back to practice. Pretty simple.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, as you list those things out, they are simple, not easy, right? They're simple, not easy. And that's why we got to tell our kids like over and over and over, you know, a yep. million times, and then, yeah. And then walk it out and then hold them accountable in all those areas. Yeah. So now this is a broad question.
Okay.
You've been coaching, you know, for a long time, and you've got to coach so many incredible athletes.
Yes, sir.
Just tell me like one or two of your kind of favorite wrestling memories. Okay. And I know that's favorite wrestling memories.
Well, we went to Centerville, Iowa in 1999 to wrestle. And, I remember we took the yellow small bus, and I'm driving the yellow small bus, and it's about a 4-hour drive up to Centerville, Iowa, and we're the only Kansas team, and Coach Halpichek, who's a famous coach in Iowa, Coach Ron Scott from Mount Air is there, Clinton, Iowa is there, and all these great schools are there. And we have the Megasons, who end up being pretty good wrestlers. We have Tanner Guard. We have some good kids. And we compete well. I think it was you'd have to look in the yearbook, Chad, to see what place we got. I think we were maybe fifth, sixth, somewhere in there. But what sticks out about that is we go to Centerville, Iowa, and you're in Tecumseh Shawnee High School District. So you save your receipts, okay? You save your receipts, gas, reimbursement, meals, all those things. And so I submitted them over to central office over there at the district office. And about a week later, the principal comes and knocks on the wrestling office door there where you and I have worked. And he says, Coach, I need to visit with you. And I said, yeah. And he goes, you've got all these receipts from a trip to Iowa. And I said, yeah. We wrestled up there. We did okay. We didn't bring a trophy home, but we did okay. And this is one of my greatest memories. And the assistant superintendent at the time, I think it was Dr. Robert Reagan. Dr. Reagan says, well, Coach, we don't let our high school teams go out of state. I was like, really? And he goes, yeah. You took a team out of state, Coach. And I go, well, yeah, but you guys last spring signed it off that the athletic director authorized it, Mr. Shandy, and you guys all signed it and said I could go. And he goes, Coach, are you sure you wrote Centerville, Iowa on there? And I go, yeah, I don't know if I have the, back then we did things in triplicate, Chad, if you remember, we used to write everything three times in carbon copy paper. Mm-hmm. And I said, I guess I can go look for that carbon copy paper. And he said, no, that's not necessary. We all thought you went to Circleville, Kansas wrestling tournament. So Circleville, Kansas is right by Holton and right by Hoyt. And that's a little town, Circleville. So they thought we were going to the Circleville, Kansas tournament. They hadn't done their due diligence.
Yeah.
And we went up to Iowa. We spent the night and, you know, kids wrestled, and we wrestled some of the greatest competition I've ever seen. We got whooped, but, you know, I think Tanner might've got first, and maybe, he's now Dr. Megason. I think Aaron probably got first, and then, you know, some of the other kids, you know, may have medaled. I think they get more medals back then, But I think that's a great, great wrestling memory with Tecumseh Shawnee Heights kids. And I think of that often. I think of that often. And then I think of, you know, as wrestling coaches, we think we're pretty good. You know, we think we're tremendous. Yeah, I can do this. And you think, well, I'm gonna wrestle with the kids on the mat and I'm gonna get after it. And so if you notice, I forgot to put, I'm embarrassed on my interview here, I forgot to put my partials in. So you can see the front teeth are knocked out. And you're aware I just had right hip replacement surgery a month ago. And you're aware 10 months ago I had left knee replacement and then right knee replacement before that. So you're aware that I've had some issues. Well, prior to all these injuries that come with old age, I'm thinking I'm a pretty tough guy, you know, and I've got you in the room and I've got Tyler and Blakey, you know, I've got Hoffman, I got Walker, we got all these good kids. And so, you know, Chad comes in the room, he stretches. I think Shannon Saunders on the staff, he's over there stretching and I stretch. All right, guys, let's get some live. Let's get some goes in. And you and Sonner are excited. All right, we'll get some go wrestling, get some goes in, we'll get some lives. Because live, most of the older guys like myself, like, okay, we'll get some goes in and I'll show these guys how to wrestle and we're going to do it. And we've been doing some goes and we've been wrestling. And I said, I think everybody's tired. This is the good time when you're an old guy like me to get somebody when they're tired.
Yep.
And so, you know, you'd been going and I could tell you got a little sweat. And so I said, hey, Tyler, watch this. I'm going to take parts now. And so, and if you've been in our old wrestling room at Shawnee Heights, you know, it's unique and it's like got the 8-foot ceiling, doesn't have a real 10-foot ceiling. And so I'm thinking as I take my double leg shot on Chad Parks, I'm going to catch him and he's going to be tired. He's going to go to his back and the kids are going to go, hey, yay, Coach Gonzo. He took Parks down, the young guy. And that's what I envision, right? We all vision things. And so as I attempt that, take that shot and it's a live go, you jump up so high. I mean, I literally think as I look up, your buttocks is hitting the ceiling and you turn completely 360 around. And as you're going up and you come back down, your knee hits my head and I get knocked out. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to the floor. And Tyler Gonzalez looks up and he goes, you just killed my dad.
Oh, man.
So that's one of those stories we love telling. You know, that's why old coaches shouldn't wrestle with the young assistants and let the young assistants stay with the athletes. But that's one of my favorites, being with you and all the things that you brought to our room and the toughness, you know, I'm thankful for that. And I think more than anything, the spirituality you brought to our kids, the religion, I think of, we took some kids to Omaha and I think Brenda and I went out to eat one night. We were in Omaha. We had a quiet moment. And so we came back to check on the team and we checked and knocked on the door and you and Tyler and a couple of the other guys were in Bible study. And that means a lot. That means a lot. And I think Tyler continues with his programs to do those things that you've mentored us in. And so, yeah, those are a couple memories, Chad, that I think that stick out and are kind of fun to reflect on.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were able to go to Iowa because that kind of broke the mold. And then you guys ended up traveling out of state quite a bit to compete at Shawnee Heights. And we continue to do that. And I know you do that
in
Manhattan. And it's just such a, it's such an awesome thing for the kids, like you said. And it's funny because, you know, you've won several state championships as a coach. And It's like the kids, though, when these kids come back and I talk to them and they don't talk about like, hey, coach, that time I won state. Like they talk about the road trips and staying in the hotel and going to these
road trips. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's the relationships and the bonding and all those things that happen. That's a beautiful part of probably any sport, but I think especially a sport like wrestling. And you know, you and I, I've been blessed. I mean, I think we've been to 9 or 10 Division I national championships and, you know, we've been St. Louis, Oklahoma City. We went to Detroit. and to me, it's the funniest thing in the world because you know, everybody has told you for a long time, like, Gonzo, you need to be in politics. And, you know, for those listening, Gonzo could like literally meet a stranger and then the person would be his best friend in 30 minutes. But we go to Detroit and we get off the plane. And I think before we even went 50 yards, Gonzo had already, you know, ran into 15 people he knew. And then go to the hotel and like, it takes an hour and a half to get to the room because, you know, D1 Nationals here. So there's wrestling people from all over the nation, but like literally you knew everyone. Like we would take two steps and somebody said, Gonzo, and it's some guy from California and then Gonzo and it's some guy from New York. I'm like, how do you know everyone? You
know,
but your ability to make relationships with people and to remember, man, I'm so bad about that. Like my wife will be talking about one of my children's friends. And I'm like, I don't even know their name. And Gonzo can meet somebody one time and he remembers their name forever. You know, it's such a gift that you're able to be able to do that, you know?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and again, we could go on and on about these things. Real quick before, cause I do want to get into your faith. And then I know you guys got to run, you have a family event in Kansas City this evening, but so you've been able to not only go to a lot of these D1s and as a fan, but also work at a lot of them. And then you got to go over to the University of Missouri a lot and go over to be an announcer. And you have this great speaking voice. When I was student teaching for you, I remember you like talking to the class and you're 6'3" and I don't know what you really are, but to me, everything of 6 foot might as well be 7 foot because I'm little. But, you're this big guy and got this huge booming voice and you're teaching. And then you're like, okay, you get to teach now. And I'm like, oh God, how do I follow that? You know? But you have this great PA voice. So tell me about that, like getting to go and like do some PA work for University of Missouri, Kansas Kid State, because I know that you're like, you're real passionate about that too. You love it.
Yeah. Well, I was very fortunate. Bob Carnes in 1987, when we brought the state tournament to the Expo Center, he actually asked me, my job was to bring mats in from all the area high schools. And I had no problem doing that. And then somebody that asked to do the PA was not available. And they go, with GPA? And I said, sure, what do I got to do? Sure, be glad to. What do I got to do? And so from there, you know, trial and error, you know, welcoming people to the Landon Arena. University of Central Missouri coach just so happened to have a nephew wrestling at the Expo that day. Said, hey, would you ever do college matches? We run a big tournament in Warrensburg and we could use a guy like you. I said, sure. So the next year I go to Central Missouri State University. I do a PA and it just so happens Coach Smith is there with a couple of his, back then they were called red shirts. I don't know if they're still called red shirts now or gray shirts or, you know, kids that weren't going to be starters. And they were there and he came up to the head table and he said, hey, he said, we're wanting to move the St. Louis Open, which Jack Kreider ran. And I always read about in magazines. In St. Louis, and he goes, would you come to Columbia and work for us and do PA? We're moving the University of Missouri Open there. And we're going to call it University of Missouri Open. And I said, you bet. And so next thing I know, I'm going to Columbia. They're putting me up to stay, which is the only way I could go. I mean, I provided meals. And so did that for about 10 years. Then next thing I know, I'm doing state PA. I go to the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Omaha was really good about 12 years ago.
Yeah, really.
I mean, UNO was really good. And so they called, wanted to know if I'll do the Fort Hayes UNO play-by-play on the radio. And so I go Omaha, Nebraska, drive up there, and I do play-by-play for them. And, it, you know, word gets out, you know, university at Newman University in Wichita. My only day off. It's on a Sunday. Get done on a Saturday wrestling and Abilene tournament, Manhattan. Hey, could you come announce? We'll give you a t-shirt and we'll give you $50 gas. I was like, holy cow. So of course, you know, I didn't say no. And so I go work all these opens and you know, I'm doing that. And then I kind of got out of that once Tyler got into college because I wanted to be able to see him wrestle. Brenda would always be available to go see Tyler wrestle in college at I think it was called the Rocky Mountain Conference back then. Yeah. I mean, they go to towns in Colorado all the time, but I wanted to be able to see them wrestle sometimes. So I quit doing a lot of those opens and that's how I got into that public speaking part, there would be times when the KWCA board nominated me to be on the KWCA board nominated me to be on the Acacia board. And so I was the only coach for 2 years that served on the Kansas State High School Activity Association board of directors. And, you know, that was, you know, kind of a politic type thing, but I learned in and outs and rules of how you get rule changes. And so it was a positive for me. So.
Yeah. So, well, you are a great public speaker. You're great at PA. all right. Hey, I want to do this, Gonzo, before we wrap up. I always ask all my guests this question, and you can pick one to use an answer. Tell me about a highlight, a hero, or a hardship in your life. Highlight, hero, or a hardship.
Highlight, a hero, or hardship.
Yeah, whichever one comes into your mind first.
Gosh, I would probably say a highlight is watching all three of my children graduate from Shawnee Heights High School. I think that's the neatest thing we did at Shawnee Heights High School was that ceremony they put on out at the Kansas Expo Center. And all of our families were here for all three of the kids. And it was just pretty cool. I think back to that. Those are probably the highlights of anything, winning state or winning, getting that letter today in the mail said I'm into the Hall of Fame. Just seeing Jen and Heather and Tyler graduation. And you know all three of them really well. So I think those are wonderful highlights for me.
Yeah. So, which is awesome. I mean, so many coaches strive to do great things in their sport, and there's nothing wrong with that. If we're going to do it, let's try to do it well. But knowing that you've always held your family first is such a high esteem, and you've raised great kids. I mean, man, just naming off your kids right there. Those are just awesome people. And of course, I love Tyler, and now we're competing against each other, but he's still one of my buddies, you know? And so. Well, anyway, Gonzo, thank you so much for being on here. You are absolutely legendary. And I told everybody, I said, hey, Gonzo might be retiring from coaching this year. And I know you're going to take one more year. But don't be surprised if you see him in the corner in some capacity somewhere, because you are an ambassador for the sport of wrestling in Kansas. So it's in your blood, and I know you love it.
Well, I appreciate it, Chad. Give the kids a hug and tell Lori hi.
I will. So
I love you, everybody.
All right, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. All right, hey, you guys know that I'm a wrestling coach, I'm a lifelong wrestler, and I'm passionate about the sport. That being said, all wrestlers love wrestling shoes. You got to have the best shoes. And for me, my top choice is Terra Grappler. This company has only been on the market for a couple of years, and they are making a huge impact, game changers. Ever since I started wearing Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, I have not went back to any other brands. First off, man, they look good. You got to be swagged out whenever you're wrestling, but they have to be functional. The fit and form of these shoes is tremendous. When I put them on, they have a sock liner. They absolutely mold to my foot. They feel perfect. I wear them on the wrestling mats. I wear them whenever I'm lifting weights. But honestly, I could probably wear them anywhere. They feel so good on your foot. So if you're looking for a good wrestling shoe, coaches, wrestlers, MMA fighters, boxers, weightlifters, make sure that you check out Terra Grappler. All right. They also have beanies, t-shirts, socks, accessories like that. But man, I'm telling you what, this company is innovative. They are changing the game. You can go to the link in my show notes, get yourself a little discount. You can also sign up for the Champions Club. So every time you purchase or people purchase using your link, you can get yourself a discount toward wrestling shoes and Terra Grappler wrestling gear. They are the best on the market, hands down, guarantee you. Check out the link in the show notes.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new